never think you'd carry the weight of the world. And the hands that formed it, hardly more than a child yourself. Cause she said, hold on, hold on, I know this sounds crazy. And he said, you're still the one I wanna marry. So hold on, hold on, cause I know this seems wild. It's a miracle falling in love, and this is a miracle, child.
Wow, that was amazing. We could just about go home right after that, except we're not.
Your cuteness meter should be pegged for today, getting to watch the kids sing. And they've hopefully kind of softened you up and gotten ready. We are so blessed that we have a children's ministry that gives kids that opportunity for an incredible expression of worship to God and of faith in Him. I am kind of curious this morning. Because, you know, we're almost a quarter of a century through the 21st century. And so much has changed in the way we do things these days. And so I'm kind of wondering, what I'm curious about is there anyone here who still sends out actual Christmas cards, puts them in the mail, a few of those? Way lots more than I would have thought. I'm glad you do that. But if you do, you ought to take note about what happened to one woman who became really very busy in December. And so she waited until the last minute to purchase her Christmas cards. And so by the time she got to the store, things were pretty well picked over. So she just grabbed several boxes of the same design. And out of the 50 cards that she bought, she was able to get 49 of them actually in the mail to her friends and neighbors just in the saint nick of time. But it wasn't until Christmas Eve that she finally had a few moments where she could relax. And so she got out that 50th card and decided to actually read the message that was in the card that she had sent. Well, the front of the card looked okay, just had a big Merry Christmas and a nice picture. But when she opened the card and read its brief message, she became suddenly aware of the predicament that she had put herself in. Because the card that she had signed and sent to all of her friends and relatives had the following message written inside the card. It said, "This special card is sent to say a special gift is on its way." And so, just make sure you read the inside of the cards before you send them out. Welcome to Academy Christian Church. We're so glad that you're here today. If you're here in person, also joining us online over at our Westside campus. For the month of December, as we're leading up to Christmas, we're in this series called A Cast of Misfits. And we're examining the remarkable cast of misfits that God chose to participate in the Christmas story. And just as we find all throughout the pages of Scripture, God often would recruit very common people to do some very uncommon things. And I'd say that a majority of the people that God chose for a specific purpose, to use them in their lives, they started in relative obscurity before God ever even recruited them. And actually, a number of God's recruits weren't certain that God had made the best choice when he picked them. I mean, I think of Moses. When Moses was at the burning bush, he was giving God all sorts of excuses why he couldn't be the one. Or then there's Gideon. Gideon said, hey, you know what? Our tribe's nothing. I'm really nothing. But I even think about the Apostle Paul. He was an incredible church planner, leader, wrote much of our New Testament. But here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, for I am the least of all the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And you know, my guess would be that the same would be true for the cast of misfits that we're talking about in this series from the Christmas story. Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and even maybe the wise men. And when it comes to our misfit for today, who is Joseph, the reality is we're going to have to do a little reading between the lines because we truly don't know that much about Joseph or the details surrounding his life. But have you ever wondered
what it would be like to be Joseph, to be chosen to raise God's son. What would it be like to be the earthly father of the creator of the world? If you thought about it for a while, would you ever think of asking Joseph, you know, questions like, hey, you know, did you and Jesus, did you ever arm wrestle? Did he ever let you, you know, win if he did? Did Jesus ever ask you for any fatherly advice? Or when you prayed, did you ever peek and actually see Jesus listening to you pray so he could answer your prayer? Well, before we get ahead of ourselves, let's go ahead and we're going to visit what I call Joseph's misfit story, recorded for us in Matthew, first book in the New Testament, as we consider how this life-altering experience must have been for Joseph. So it'll be on the screen, it's in your notes, it's in your Bible. Let's start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, some translations have righteous man, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate his marriage until after she had given birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, the reality is that we know very little about this man who played such a pivotal role in history. Not to mention that we aren't even sure when he may have left the timeline of Jesus' life here on this earth. Because other than Christ's birth and one short scene when Jesus was 12 years old and they forgot him in Jerusalem, Joseph never reappears in Scripture. In fact, this is really pretty much everything we know about Joseph. We know that he was of the lineage of David, which was important if he was going to be the earthly father of the Messiah. He was a carpenter, someone who worked with his hands in some kind of trade. He was betrothed to Mary, which meant he was committed to marry her, but they hadn't gone through the final ceremony yet. We know that he was faithful to the law that we just read, or righteous. We also know that he still felt some compassion for Mary, even after hearing the news. That's pretty much everything we know about Joseph. Now, I would say what we don't know is when and how Joseph found out that his bride-to-be was pregnant. Remember, there had been a point at which Joseph hadn't had the benefit of an angel visiting him to verify Mary's story. So how was it discovered? How did he find out? Was it before she actually went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, or after she returned 3 months later? Did Joseph just happen to notice that Mary was getting larger, or did Mary tell him she was pregnant? No matter when or how Joseph found out, can you imagine how difficult those conversations with Mary must have been? I mean, imagine Joseph's shock when Mary told him that she was pregnant, because they'd likely had little contact during their time of betrothal, and they certainly hadn't been intimate. Imagine what it must have been like when Mary dropped this bombshell on Joseph. He must have been devastated. And then she'd go on to tell him that she wasn't just pregnant, but that the baby conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, right. She would have revealed the story about the angel's visit and maybe even shared the song of celebration that she sang when she visited Elizabeth. But as you might imagine, Joseph was probably not in the mood to celebrate at that point. There had to have been so many thoughts that were racing through his mind. Multiple questions that he really wanted answered. Mary, are you serious? How could you do this to me, to us? I mean, what do you mean that you're still a virgin? That's impossible. Who did this to you, and where is he? Well, see, when we read the story in Matthew, we have the benefit of 2,000 years of hindsight. But for Joseph, there's really no way that he could see ahead to what God was going to do in the world through his life. Because his life was just pretty simple. It seemed insignificant. I mean, he's really just a carpenter, common carpenter. Try to put yourself, if you would, in Joseph's place, who at this point had not seen any angels. At that point, he had simply been living his life as faithfully as he could, working as a carpenter or a craftsman, striving to build a future for his family. He trusted Mary to be faithful to him, and he had pledged his life to her. Yet the only obvious answer to all of this is that she literally betrayed him. What's so amazing is that after taking the time and assessing the situation from all sides, also acknowledging the humanity of Mary, Joseph made the choice that would be best for her. He just divorced her quietly. Now, I'll tell you what, that kind of decision couldn't come from blinded anger. Joseph doesn't seem to be irrational. He doesn't seem to be unstable. Apparently, he deliberately considered his options and weighed them against each other. And for someone who had just had his life turned upside down, I think Joseph demonstrated remarkable composure and grace towards Mary. And while for the most part, you and I are forced to kind of read between the lines concerning Joseph, what we do learn is enough to understand maybe why God chose him to help raise the Christ child along with Mary. Joseph had a heart of compassion in the face of excruciating circumstances. You know, it's interesting. It's been said that life is like a grindstone. And whether it wears you down or polishes you up actually depends on what you're made of. And I think it's interesting. Challenging circumstances don't usually make you who you are as much as they actually reveal who you already are. Now, of course, how you handle challenging circumstances will definitely determine who you become. But honestly, in that moment, they simply reveal who you are. And this revealed who Joseph was. And I don't think there's that many men who are made of what Joseph was made of: selfless compassion and integrity. And that's why I actually believe it's a good thing that Joseph was a misfit, maybe even why he was chosen, because he decided to take God at his word and follow God's instructions instead of doing maybe what he thought best. And hopefully, as we examine the response of Joseph, we'll see how there is a sense in which we should be misfits. We need to be misfits. I heard it said a while back that, you know, it really is easier to become a Christian than it is to be a Christian. You just make the decision to follow Christ, but then when you actually have to start following, you need to make some tough choices, and the world is going to try to force you into a specific pattern. Now, that's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, hey, don't conform to the pattern of this world. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, when you follow God, you'll likely find yourself, like Joseph, caught between what makes sense to you and what God says. And I think Joseph chose what God said. But what about for us? For example, what about when God says to each of us, hey, you need to make sure you forgive as the Lord has forgiven you? And you say, well, I can't forgive. Don't you know what they did to me, how they hurt me? No, God says you need to forgive. Or how about when he says, don't repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but with blessing? I don't understand how I'm supposed to give blessing to those who've done that to me. And see, what we need to do is what Joseph did. We need to be able to trust and obey. In spite of all the questions that Joseph might have had concerning his God-given assignment, and in spite of the fact that really it made very little sense, Joseph listened and followed God's instructions. He obeyed, which is what we need to do. And I want to remind you how quickly he obeyed. In verse 24 of chapter 1, it literally says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And even though there's no way he would be able to make sense of it all, Joseph didn't let his confusion disrupt his obedience. Hey, I'll obey. I mean, we can only imagine the thoughts Joseph must have been thinking about this entire experience. But he had to have been thinking, hey, this isn't the way I planned it. I mean, think about it. Of all the ways to start your family and welcome your first child into the world, Joseph and Mary both would have likely had other plans to usher their little child into this world. More like, you know, a quiet home with family gathered around, grandparents close at hand, neighbors scattered outside, friends standing nearby, congratulations and hugs when the baby finally arrives. I'm guessing that they had hoped that it would be just a little bit more normal. But when that day finally arrived, remember, there's Joseph waiting for the child to be born. And where's he going to be born? In a stable of some kind, most likely a cave, with sheep and donkeys and hay and straw. And as far as we know, all alone, until some shepherds they'd never seen before showed up unannounced. Man, I doubt that was what Joseph had planned for his child. And I got to be honest, I can at least relate to that in some way, how he might have felt. Because I remember the call I got the morning that our first child was to come home from the hospital. As new parents, we were so excited to bring Bryce home and welcome him there. But the phone call that I got from Diane that morning, who had spent the night in the hospital, told me that things were not going to go as planned. Instead, I had learned that Bryce had had some seizures in the night. He'd stopped breathing a couple of times, and so there was some concern that there might be some brain damage. And so instead of him coming home, they were taking him by ambulance to the neonatal unit in St. Luke's Hospital in Sioux City, Iowa. And so for a week, a full week after he was born, we made trips to the hospital every day, 30 miles each way from where we lived. We had to scrub down and put on sterile gowns just to go in and not even hold our son, just to look at him and all the monitors and the IVs. That's not the way I had it planned. But I'm guessing that probably some of you sitting there have had your plans interrupted too. Maybe the plan you had for what your marriage would be like was shattered because it ended so abruptly in divorce. Or maybe the job that you got that you thought would take you to the top or end up being so fulfilling ended up a dead end. Or the doctor has sat you down and suddenly said, hey, you may have cancer, and your life is put on hold. We've probably all had those few moments when life suddenly changes and we think, you know what, God, that's not the way I had it planned. So what do? We follow the example of Joseph. We trust and obey. And then remember this chain of events. An angel told Joseph that the child would be someone who was going to save the world. He tolerated questions about his wife's untimely pregnancy. And if you remember, he'd been forced to travel to a city, Bethlehem, of his ancestors to be counted in a census right before the birth. And I don't know what it's like for this young married couple when they showed up in Bethlehem and there's no room in the inn. But somebody, I think, had an idea. There's Joseph. Don't be mad, Mary. I said I was sorry. I should have made reservations. Talk to me, Mary. Talk to me. I'm fine. If any of you are wondering where the song Silent Night might have come from, it's probably from that moment. It was a pretty quiet night that night in the stable. But you know, any minute, Mary is about to give birth, but not just to any child, the Messiah. And it seems so strange. The Son of God ends up lying in a bed that doubled as a diner for donkeys. I mean, sure, Joseph had followed God's instructions and did what he was told, but there had to be some questions about, really, was this God's plan? It just didn't make sense. Joseph had to be wondering again, did I miss something? Is this how God enters the world? And did Joseph ever think, you know, it sounded like I'd been given the task of raising a child who'd have a birth that was a lot more significant than this. I mean, after all, it's God's son. Don't you think Joseph probably envisioned, like, you know, Jerusalem, the temple, the priests, other important people gathered for the delivery of a lifetime? And he's thinking, is there something that I overlooked? I would imagine that most of us, again, have probably had those moments where we thought, did I miss something? And maybe some of you, since choosing to follow Christ, you thought maybe that when you decided to follow Jesus, it would mean that all of your troubles would be over, or at least, you know, you would have some solutions. And what you've really found is that life seems to get even harder, and it makes you think, did I miss something? You know, that's why we got to recognize, folks, that faith is actually taking the first step, even when you can't see the whole staircase. That's what faith is all about. And so here's what Joseph did. He didn't know everything, but he did what he knew. And you know, every so often I encounter people who think they need every question answered before they decide to follow Jesus. I've even had some of them say to me at one time or another, you know, I know I need to become a Christian, but I don't feel like I know enough. But the reality of faith is that you're never going to know everything you need to know, at least not this side of heaven. So just do what you know. And I think the reason Joseph is such a misfit and yet an important example is because he chose to do what he knew, and not just once, but multiple times. When the angel said, take Mary home as your wife, the next day he did. And then after the wise men, after they had visited in Matthew 2, it says, again, when they'd gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod's going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. And I think that's significant. Man, it's done. Because, you know, I know in my own life, and maybe in a lot of other people's lives, the knowledge level that we have is way above our level of obedience. Here's what we know. Here's really what we do. I think that's probably why Mark Twain wisely said one time, you know, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that concern me most. It's the parts that I do understand, because I probably should be doing those. And, you know, our level of obedience is what most clearly identifies our love for God. You know what Jesus said in John 14:21? He said, whoever has my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me. Folks, that's the legacy that Joseph left behind. He displayed amazingly righteous character in a difficult situation. Joseph was willing to suffer reputational harm and the loss of all of his comforts for the sake of God and others. And he obeyed God's commands immediately. And I would just say to all of us, you know, God still needs people like Joseph. Just ordinary people, ready to serve an extraordinary God. And that's why I would just say, I certainly desire to be a misfit like Joseph. And I sure hope you would too. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for a chance to be here today, hear these kids sing, remind us of the real meaning of Christmas in ways that hopefully take us back to our own childhood, because Jesus said we sometimes need to become like a child if we're actually going to get into the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for people like Mary and Joseph, ordinary people that you called to an extraordinary task. But that's because you're an extraordinary God. And Father, I know there's people in this room that you have tasks to do. You have things that you want them to be involved in, to serve you and honor you and love you. So I pray that we would just have open hearts. The things that we know we would do, that we would follow you faithfully, trusting you even when we don't always understand or comprehend. Just believing that you will be faithful as you've proved over and over again. Help us to live there. Father, if there's someone here today that you've been calling to put their faith in you, pray that you'd give them that boost they need to take that step of faith. And we ask and pray all of that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.